When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Tailgate.
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 It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around. Down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate, just days before Christmas. I am Paul Pabst. This is 670 The Score. Time to wake up and get ready for some college football, pro football. What a great day. Started last night. We're going to get to that in a second. We got college football playoff games today. We got NFL games today. Don't sleep on those. There's two good NFL games today. Texans, Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. But, you know, this is the peak of football season. The college football 12-team playoff is underway. And before we get to all the football, before we get to Notre Dame, before we get to the Bears, the NFL slate, maybe a little Sammy Sosa today, I want to give you a pro tip from a tailgate guy. Your guy, Paul Pabst, on the tailgate, 670 The Score. I, like you, am a sports person. I love to watch sports. I want to watch more, not less. I don't like when things interfere in my sports watching schedule. I think you know what I'm talking about. If you're listening in your car, if you're listening to the show at 7 a.m. on a Saturday, you love football or all sports. So here's the tip. If you have to go to a holiday party, whatever, a kid's party, whatever, a kid's basketball game, if you have to go to a holiday party today or tonight or Sunday, but this is a peak holiday party season in this day, make sure there's a good TV with the college playoff games on in the house or the NFL playoff games on in the house. You know, especially if it's like a neighbor you know, if you know that this neighbor has a 42-inch TV and that's it, you wouldn't want to rethink going to this party. Like, I went to a party last night briefly before the Notre Dame-Indiana game, and this person had a 75-inch TV, and I was like, oh, respect. And he had the pregame already on. I'm like, I could stay here a little bit. But what if you walk into a house and there's no TVs on? Or they've got the Yule log on, which I will go nuts. So, you know, don't be polite. Be aggressive. You walk into a house. I don't care if it's a stranger. I don't care if it's a neighbor you barely know. Say, hey, man, did you know that SMU's playing right now? And get the remote, grab it, and put it on. You'll be doing a favor to all the bros, all the people who love football in the building. Don't sleep on college football today. Don't sleep on pro football. If I go to a house today or tonight to some type of party that my wife wrangles me into, I'm going to grab the remote before I take my shoes off. Before I hand them the bottle of wine, I'm grabbing the remote, turning on the games, and taking charge. Politeness is overrated. Remember, your boy Paulie Pabst told you that. This is the playoffs. Get your focus. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk football and movies with my guy Richard Roper of the Chicago Sun-Times. He's a big sports fan, and of course, he's a movie expert. We're going to talk football movies, Christmas movies. That'll be a lot of fun. By the way, before we get to the football, we always try to hit a few headlines here on the show. Sammy Sosa feels like a Cub again. Man, was that out of nowhere this week. I mean, this whole week was just meandering along. The Minnesota game, brutal. And then all of a sudden, Sammy Sosa and the Cubs are back together. I have some thoughts on that a little bit later. But let's get to the college football playoffs. Indiana at Notre Dame to start the 12-team playoff last night. It was a great night. Indiana is at Notre Dame. South Bend, late December. There was snow in the morning. They cleared it off. It was 27 degrees at kickoff. College Game Day was there. I was watching all day. You know, Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman's walking the team out. He looks jacked and ready to play. You know, Indiana's coach Cignetti gets on College Game Day and says, we're here to beat people. We're here to take people down. It felt like it was going to be a good game. And, you know, if you think about that Notre Dame-IU matchup, there was a lot of downside for Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. This guy has not won a title yet. He just signs a contract extension. Very popular coach. Notre Dame is cruising right now. But you play an in-state, I don't even want to say rival, because they don't play a lot. I think the last time they played was 1991. Notre Dame, there was a lot of downside in this game for Notre Dame. Indiana, a lot of people were iffy on them in the playoffs. They didn't show up too well against Ohio State late in the season. They did meet Michigan, a downed Michigan team. But they didn't have a lot of top-end wins. There was a lot of trepidation about how threatening Indiana would be against Notre Dame. So if you didn't watch a lot of the game last night, first couple plays, Notre Dame throws a pick, Indiana throws a pick. It's kind of wonky. And then Jeremiah Love on his own 2-yard line for Notre Dame, the running back, he's a speedster, breaks it outside and takes it 98 yards for a touchdown. And the rest of the half was kind of middling around. Indiana really never got locked in on offense. They're supposedly, you know, they've had almost all their games, they scored over 30 points this year, even against decent teams. They really didn't do much. They had 3 points at halftime. The other thing that really bothered me about Indiana, this is your shot. What are you holding back for? Kurt Cignetti, the head coach of Indiana, he punted 2 or 3 times in Notre Dame territory instead of going for it on fourth and down. Look, I know you're trying to play smart and try to, you know, ball control and stuff like this, but there's nothing to lose here. You got to take down Notre Dame in this one shot, and they didn't do it. Notre Dame's running game looked good. Riley Leonard, the quarterback, who I think a lot of people nationally still aren't buying into, he is a fantastic run and pass passer. And I say in that order because he's a nice runner. He's a smart runner. Notre Dame wins 27-17. It wasn't that close. Indiana grabs 2 touchdowns later in the game to make it, you know, respectable on the board, but not really that close of a game. Notre Dame kind of cruises. So the college football playoff later today, you have to start out, wow, SMU versus Penn State. That's at 11 o'clock local time. That's on TNT. Don't sleep on that. If you're looking at ABC, ESPN, CBS, that game is on TNT. SMU, Penn State. Penn State has a pretty good quarterback, Drew Aller. And he's really nice. Past couple of years, they've had a guy named Sean Clifford who wasn't that threatening. Drew Aller, he is really good for Penn State. Keep an eye on him. SMU, you probably know nothing about. Back in the 80s, they were awesome. Death penalty in the late 80s. Remember Eric Dickerson and Craig James? And they went away for a long, long time. SMU is back. They have a lot of money. In this new NIL collective booster era, if you have a couple benefactors with big dough, this team, SMU, for those who don't know, Southern Methodist University, it's in North Dallas. It's in the richest area of Dallas. And there's a lot of people who have a lot of money who are backing SMU football, and they're in the playoffs. Keep an eye on that. Later this afternoon, 3 p.m. Chicago time, Clemson at Texas. Quinn Ewers, kind of last call for him as a Texas quarterback, see what he could do. Texas looks really good on offense. Clemson started out the season. They got roughed up to start out the season, and somehow they end up in the playoffs. And then the late game is Ohio State versus Tennessee, which is, I think a lot of people are really juicy on this one, especially if you're a Big Ten fan, if you're a Midwestern fan. Ryan Day and Ohio State, I don't think he'll be fired if Tennessee wins this game, but he'll be on notice. And this guy wins all of his games except for the ones he really, really needs to, like Michigan and some of these playoff games. So Tennessee, Ohio State, I think Ohio State is given a couple points to set. Oh, 7.5 to Tennessee. It's home, so you get a couple points for being at home. But that is the college football today. Should be a lot of fun. There should be some good weather games. Home field, I love it. Last night, well, not so great of a game. Little tight here and there in the first half, but not really much of a fight put up by Indiana. Notre Dame, if you're a Notre Dame fan listening right now, this may be the best chance for Notre Dame to win a title in about, oh, maybe 30 years. And I know they've been in the playoffs before, but if you remember about a decade ago when that Manti Te'o Notre Dame team faced Alabama, they were out-muscled and out-physicaled, and they didn't belong on the same playoff field as them. Notre Dame's not like that anymore. I think Notre Dame can go toe-to-toe physically with Georgia, no problem. Toe-to-toe physically with anybody in the playoffs, Tennessee, Ohio State, especially Ohio State. I think this Notre Dame team may not be that exciting. They may not have a ton of star power, not a lot of household names, but I think they're going to end up in the national title game against Oregon. All right, this is the Tailgate 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. We talk Bears football here. Sometimes it's tough, like the past couple of weeks. When I say couple, I mean 8. The Bears' next home game, Sunday at noon, Lions at Bears. The Lions are banged up on D. They lost running back David Montgomery. It looked like for the season, but this guy, it was remembered because he was a Bear for a while and a very well-liked Bear, is going to try to come back for deep in the playoffs. Just like Aiden Hutchinson, their star defensive end, is going to try to come back deep in the playoffs. The Bears come in mostly healthy. Detroit's favored by a touchdown. And I think this is going to be, I don't want to jinx it or really call for it in any way, but I think this could be a really ugly day at Soldier Field. I told you about Ryan Day and the Ohio State fans. If Tennessee gets a nice lead early, I think the Ohio State fans are going to give it to Ryan Day. I think the Bears fans, who are all going to show up and tailgate in the cold weather, and because what else is there to do? You know, that's it. That's what we do. We go to the tailgate. We go to the Bears games. It's an honor to go to the Bears games. It's a treat. There's not that many home games a year. Detroit's favored by a touchdown, but I think this is going to be an ugly day at Soldier Field. If the Bears have one of those first halves like they've had the past 2 months, almost every week, I think the fans are going to be audible. I think they're going to vent their collective frustrations that this game starts like other games. The Bears are a terrible first half team. How terrible? When I see the stats about how they've been in the first half the past 8 weeks, they bring up teams from like 1971. It's almost like when the White Sox year and they start doing the losing streaks and how many games the White Sox lost, they have to bring out teams from like the 1889 Spiders in comparisons. This is a less terrible second half team, but they put themselves in such a hole. Yeah, everyone's, I think the one saving grace about Caleb Williams this year is like, man, look what he does in the fourth quarter. They're a tough fourth quarter team. How about be a good first quarter team or second quarter team? How about a nice 10-10 score at half? That'd be refreshing. This might be a long 3 hours at Soldier Field. The Lions side, you know, they're banged up, especially at the defensive line, but all over the defense. A month ago, they were the Vegas favorites to win the Super Bowl. Now, I think people like the Eagles maybe a little more than the Lions. Also, Minnesota's right at their heels. The Lions aren't in a position where they don't need this game. They absolutely need this game to have some home field advantage in the NFC. I mean, this is going to be a big one. I don't think they're going to take it easy on the Bears. They're not going to pace themselves in any way. And I think Bears fans, if it's like 13-0 at half, it's going to be brutal when the fans run into the tunnel, when the players run in the tunnel. I think the fans are going to collectively let out their voice. You know, the one thing about fans and booing people, you could boo the head coach because he runs into the locker room. You can't boo the GM and the owner. Someday I'd like to actually see the GM and the owner on the sidelines and have to take the boos from the fans. That'd be kind of refreshing. Just bring the McCaskies down, bring Ryan Poles down, and here's what you put together. Let's let the fans tell you what they think of it. And you run in the locker room. Don't make the backup lineman take all the heat or the, you know, the quality control coach as he runs into it. So that's it. That's Bears game Sunday. Before the Chicago takes on Detroit, tune in tomorrow, 9 to noon, for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Presented by Aurelio's. Love Aurelio's. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the game. Then right after the game, they'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard right here on the Score and the Odyssey app. So the Bears last week, I think we kind of, you know, forgot about that game, but Monday Night Football, and I told you here, if you're listening to the Score, 670 Score, this is the tailgate. I'm Paul Papst. Richard Roper, by the way, coming up in 10 minutes to talk some football and some movies. I hate when the Bears are on national TV. I know I should love it. I would love to love it. I would love to love it. But every time the Bears are on national TV, I spend my whole day, how's this going to work out? Are they going to put together a good offense? What am I going to say? I'm going to plan my whole day. I stress about it. I think about it like you guys out there do if you're a Bears fan. And then the game happens, and then you stay up way too late, and then you get up the next morning on about 5.5 hours sleep because you got to work in the morning. And you're like, what did I do last night? I watched them get absolutely handled 30-12 against the Vikings. It never felt like a competitive game. And, you know, going back to November, that three-game loss with, like, the Lions and the Packers and even the Commanders' ugly loss, they were good games. They were good games deep into the fourth quarter until the final seconds. And I'd much rather have that, competitive football games. Non-competitive football games, you feel like you wasted your time. You feel like your time was wasted. And I think if you're a Bears fan, and a lot of you out there right now listening must be, I think that's the general collective feeling that I feel like my time was wasted this season. I buy the jerseys, I buy the hats, I set up my tailgate, I get there to Soldier Field at 8 a.m., the tailgate, you know, I have to sit in traffic to get home. I go to a pub to watch a game. I get the NFL package if I'm out of town to watch the Bears. I think a lot of Bears fans this week, or this year, I would say, feel like my time is being wasted. My energy is being wasted on this team. And you're not quitting. You're not giving up. Let's not kid ourselves. At this juncture, we're not moving on to a new team or giving up. We're going to tune into the Score every day to see what's going on with the Bears. We're going to read the Sun-Times and the Tribune to see what's going on with the Bears. But every season that ends up like this is, you know, I know you can't win the Super Bowl every season. Clearly, nobody can. Now, this isn't the Steelers of the 1970s. Even the Chiefs, they may not win 3 in a row, but they won 2. Bears fans want competitiveness. They want 500-plus as a record for the season. They understand, we understand, they understand that you can't be in the Super Bowl every year. But you get to the point of the season where it's December and you're like, What did I do for the past 4 months? What did I spend my time on, my money on, my thoughts, my listening, tuning process for? How many games did I go to? How much money did I spend on those games? And that's what frustrates Bears fans. It's like, it feels like the commitment as a fan is not matched by the commitment as a franchise. I'm not saying the players quit. I'm not saying the players aren't trying. I don't like doing that. That doesn't feel right. But it's one of those things like, where my commitment's here. I'm spending money. I'm buying tickets. I'm buying the NFL package. I'm buying jerseys for my son. I got the Odunze jersey at $79.95. You know, I got the Caleb Williams, the real one, for $165.95, whatever it is. I spent my money. I gave. Where are you? Where are you, Ryan Poles? Where's the ownership? How much are you giving? How much are you doing? Are you doing a good job at your job? Because if I did this at my job, I'd be gone. I wouldn't get another year. So with that said, man, I have a little vent there, Paulie Peps. I may have to have a glass of water. Here's a little bit of Caleb Williams, who always has to go to the podium and clean up the mess.
It does affect me. You know, losing is it's one of those things that actually really affects me. It's tough, but I do have the understanding of where I'm at in my career and where I'll be at. And so having that understanding is important for me, myself internally, because internally it's tough. Internally, you know, when tough times happen, you know, just human nature is to do the opposite of what you're doing or what you've been doing or all these different things. So it's the toughest part is fighting yourself. And, you know, especially when there's tough times. And so understanding that aspect of it and also understanding the position that, you know, I'm in, there's a lot of growth. But there's also a lot of progress that, you know, throughout the season that has happened, throughout training camp and all of that, you know, that has happened. And so, you know, having all of that in mind, you know, there's a lot to be optimistic and positive about, because I'm not my best self yet. And that's soon to come.
You know, I always like him going up there and giving his real thoughts. You know, he's a quality kid. He seems to be doing this, but it's got to wear on him to do this every week. Quarterbacks have to talk. If you're the backup lineman, you don't have to talk. If you're the kid from Yale, you don't have to do interviews, but Caleb Williams has to do it every week. All right, the NFL today. Today is the NFL doubleheader. Like I said, Texans at Chiefs, followed by Steelers at Ravens. The doubleheader begins at 11:30 right here on the Score and the Odyssey app. I do want to take a second on Ryan Poles. Matt Eberflus is gone. You can't fire ownership. The president can't really be fired of the team, especially not so early. But everyone, I think if the Bears lose, also in bad fashion the next 3 weeks, I think Poles will wear this losing streak. There's no Matt Eberflus to blame. You can't really fire an interim coach. He hasn't even been hired yet. But he may be, Ryan Poles, a casualty by proximity. He's too close and too responsible for this ugly season that started out with a really nice amount of hope. Maybe too much hope, maybe some blind optimism. But I want to go back to the draft for a second. And this isn't hindsight where I'm saying, this didn't work out, so I'm going to critique what Ryan Poles did. This is what I said at the time. I work on a show called The Dan Patrick Show. My name is Paul Pabst, 670 Score. This is The Tailgate. When the Bears took Rome Odunze in round one, I was like, okay, yes, very good college player, but Brock Bowers of Georgia, the tight end, is sitting right there. You could have taken him without trading in any way. The best tight end prospect in a decade, you passed on him. Okay, I remember some people saying, Bears fans, well, you already have Cole Kmet. That's fantastic. He's a nice tight end. Brock Bowers is going to be all pro first team as a rookie. He's going to set the receiving record for all rookies all time this year for a terrible Raiders team. Then you go down to round three. You take a Yale tackle. I actually go to Yale games. I don't live far from Yale Field. A Yale tackle in round three. Those games have about 4,000 people at them, and they're really smart kids. They're really good athletes for the Ivy League. Anytime you take a Yale tackle in round three, that's someone who's not ready to help you year one. They just don't play against the type of competition. That is a risky pick. That is a pick that has more risk, and it does have upside, but more risk. That in round three, you take a nice offensive lineman for Wisconsin or Alabama or Georgia. Then you take a punter in round four. Now, I know Taylor in Iowa. I watch a lot of Iowa football. He's an unbelievable punter. He might be the best punting prospect in 20 years. Right. That's a luxury pick. That's the kind of pick the Chiefs can do or the Bills can do. The Bears need too much to be too cute and too risky by taking a punter in round four. Even if it works out, I'm critiquing the strategy, not the result. The Bears needed safe picks on both sides of the ball. And all these things that Ryan Poles did way back when, Nate Davis and et cetera, those things will be ultra analyzed, and have. I listen to Molly and Haw every morning on the Score. And those things are going to be ultra analyzed as the fans make up their mind what they want to do with the GM. The Bears, who knows what they're going to do. But Ryan Poles, he's going to own this losing streak the last three games. He won't be out there to boo, but that's where we are right now. All right, let's get to the football. Coming up about 5 minutes, Richard Roper of the Sun-Times talks some football, movies, and some Bears. NFC standings right now, AFC standings. The Bills are 11-3. The Miami Dolphins are 6-8. A little bit of a disappointment this year. AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers now 10-4. They did lose. The Ravens have a big one today, 9-5. They could even things up with the Steelers and take the lead there. The Cincinnati Bengals, they've won two in a row, but it might be too little too late at 6-8. Joe Burrow is having one of the best seasons in the past 20 years as a quarterback, and it's going to be completely wasted. The Houston Texans are 9-5. They won two in a row. Real popular pick before the season. Theirs seem to be riding the ship. AFC West, Kansas City Chiefs 13-1 on absolute cruise control. But the real one to keep an eye on is the LA Chargers, Denver Broncos. Chargers came back on Thursday Night Football, won that game against the Broncos, and wasn't just a win. They're both 9-6, but the Chargers hold a tiebreaker. So the Chargers, if they win out and they have a couple of easy games to end the season, the Chargers will be in the playoffs with Jim Harbaugh first year. Another person the Bears did not contact for the head coaching position, Jim Harbaugh. Not mad about that. Not mad about that. Philadelphia Eagles 12-2. Washington Commanders 9-5. That's the NFC East. Detroit Lions are 12-2. The Minnesota Vikings are 12-2, and they've won seven in a row. And they finish the season, Lions, Vikings. That could maybe be for the NFC North, and the other team gets the wild card. NFC South, not hasn't been pretty this year. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won four in a row. They're 8-6. I like them all season. I would not want to face them in a playoff game. They have a fantastic offense. They've scored over 400 points already this season. The Atlanta Falcons, they lost a bunch in a row. Somehow Kirk Cousins got fired on his day off. He got fired after winning a game. That's a movie from the movie Friday, by the way, if you don't know the reference. And Michael Penix Jr. from Washington and previously Indiana will take the reins for the Atlanta Falcons. The NFC West is saucy. LA Rams 8-6. Seattle Seahawks 8-6. That's where we are right now. We'll get to the NFL scoreboard. We got a lot to get to today. Coming up next, some more college football, and we're going to have some fun. Little Bears talk, little football talk, football movies, and holiday movies with Richard Roper, my buddy from the Chicago Sun-Times. This is The Tailgate, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it.
Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the tailgate. I am Paul Papps, Marion Catholic High School, Southern Illinois University. This is the tailgate, 670 The Score. Let's get to some college football, some pro football. Don't forget, every week this show is brought to you by Homage. HOMAGE.com. Go to homage.com for your Bears gear, for your NFC North gear. You can get college football gear. You get cozy, warm weather, cold weather gear, whatever you need. Go to homage.com. It's the best. Use the code tailgate for 15% off. Tell them Pauly Papp sent you, or just use the code tailgate. A couple of things. We're going to get to the college football schedule. Don't forget NFL today. You know, if you're in college football mode, you may not remember. Noon o'clock, as I like to say when I was a little kid. NBC and Peacock, Texans versus Chiefs. Fantastic game. I'm actually picking the Texans in this one, weirdly. I don't know if the Chiefs need this one nearly as bad. And then a little later this afternoon, 3:30 on Fox, Steelers at Ravens. The Steelers weirdly have owned the Ravens the past few years. Little down the Steelers last week on offense. The Ravens need this one. Baltimore's favored by 6.5. One thing before we get to the college football. You know, I work on the Dan Patrick Show, and we often say it's a must-lie situation or must-not-answer situation for an athlete or a player or a team or an owner, whatever it may be. DJ Moore, the wide receiver of the Bears, was asked a question, and his answer got a lot of coverage this week. Here's how it went.
Follow-up to Kevin's question and the offseason. I mean, it has to be something you guys are already thinking about in terms of get it right. And what kind of ideas do you have when you think about the offseason already and training camp and making it better?
What I'm thinking about? Mm-hmm. Vacation.
To clear your mind of all this?
There you go. Yeah. Let them do all the work and then, just come back and ready to go.
That is T-ball for sports radio people like me and David Haw and Spiegel and the guys and Dan Bernstein. What am I thinking about? Vacation. You know, it's pretty harmless what DJ Moore said. He didn't really mean he's not going to be working out, not trying. But when you're in the midst of a two-month losing streak and a reporter leads you with a question like, what are you thinking about? You think about OTAs and how to prepare for next season. And you say, I'm thinking about vacation. That's a must-lie situation. You have to say something nice like, I'm really focused on what we can do next year. I'm actually focused on these three games. I'm not even thinking about the offseason yet. You know, it's like when I'm going on a date night with my wife and my wife goes, what do you think of this dress? I go, awesome. You see how quick I did that, kids? My wife goes, what do you think of this outfit? That's awesome. You look great. I'm like a trigger. I say it's awesome and look great before my head even swivels to look at what you're doing. You know what you don't do when your wife says, hey, what do you think of this dress? You go, oh my gosh. If you do the, you're cooked, man. You guys out there, don't ever do that. Just look or don't ever go, I don't know if it fits. No. You're cooked if you do that. Just a little tip for you guys out there. College football later today, a great slate. SMU Penn State, 11 o'clock Chicago time on TNT. Tennessee Ohio State's a night game on ABC. And then the afternoon slate, Clemson versus Texas, 3 o'clock. You know, Notre Dame last night, before we get to Richard Roper, the Sun-Times, Notre Dame looked great. They're running the ball well. Riley Leonard, the quarterback who they snaked from Duke, he's doing fantastic. You know, they got some breakaway guys on that team, 27-17. They took care of Indiana and get ready for next week. But let's get to our first guest. Joining us now on the tailgate, 670 The Score, I'm Paul Papps, one of my favorites. He reviews film and TV for the Chicago Sun-Times. You know him. He's been around Chicago forever. He's a Chicago treasure. My man, Richard Roper. I've known him for a while, Richard Roper. We first met a decade ago in New York City. I'm going to name drop here. At the Howard Stern 60th birthday party. It was a live show in New York. Celebrities everywhere. Big event. Lots of famous people. Richard and I were seated at the same table. Never met him before. Big fan. We hung out all night. I mean, all night. So, Richard, I heard I had a good time that night at the Howard Stern event.
You did. And, you know, the great thing about that, Paul, it's great to talk to you, is like at a bash like that, just make sure there are two or three other people who are more embarrassing. That's my philosophy. And when you're at a party where it's everybody from Robert Downey Jr. to Slash to Jeff the Drunk, yes. You know, it ran the spectrum.
Yeah, it's funny. Like Robert Downey Jr. was, we're going to name drop here because that's what Richard and I do, was two tables over from us. And he was watching the Howard Stern birthday show, and it was a live show. And a lot of people were been drinking, but Robert Downey Jr. was focused, and he was like shushing people.
He got really mad at people, and because at one point, it's Jimmy Kimmel, David Letterman, and Howard on stage, and Robert Downey Jr. wanted, and we had headsets, but it was like, come on, Iron Man was shushing people, and the last name drop I'll say there is I peed between Robert Downey Jr. and Dave Grohl at one point, so. That's and we all looked straight ahead and had a fine conversation.
All right, Richard, let's get to this. I want to get to movies in a few minutes, but as a Chicagoan and a Chicago sports fan, overall, how is your morale right now?
Well, you know, Paul, I'm a White Sox fan, too, although not one of those Sox fans who hates the Cubs. I love going to Wrigley, and I want to see the Cubs do well. But I'm a White Sox fan at heart. I grew up about 10 miles south of the old Comiskey Park, and that was just, you know, there was nothing even interesting about that team, even as they were losing. They were the reverse money ball. They were losing, like, 20 games in a row. But it was just depressing, you know. And, you know, the Bulls and the Blackhawks, they are what they are. The Bulls try hard. They're a mediocre team. The Blackhawks need a lot of help. But the Bears, Paul, we were all so, I think, you know, we were over the top excited. But there was a lot of reason to be. And it, for the first half of the season, even when they lost, it was really interesting and exciting and different. And now they're just terrible. They're just terrible.
It's really frustrating. Like you said, it's like looking forward to something. And maybe we believe too much too early in July and August. I'm going to do a movie comparison of the Bears this year for you and see if you agree. Remember the movie Copland? When they were promoting Copland, it was all the big actors were in it. De Niro and all these different people, and Harvey Keitel.
Stallone.
I actually have watched that movie multiple times, and I think it's pretty darn good. But at the time, I felt a little disappointed, like they sold me a bill of goods. It wasn't as good as it was supposed to be.
We thought it was going to be, you know, the level of a Goodfellas or something like that. And it actually is a really strong film. And Stallone's very good in it. Harvey Keitel. It does have a lot of those great names. But it's one of those that, yeah, you don't walk out of there quoting everything from it. It's got a different kind of feel to it, a different kind of vibe to it. But I agree. It's a film that gets better through the years, I think.
And this Bears season, my other comparison, it feels like a bad movie that we're three quarters done with. You know, the last three games of the season almost feel, I hate to say it, like a formality, and it's hard to picture them winning the last 20 minutes of a disappointing movie. So to transition from the Bears to movies, have you ever personally or professionally walked out on a movie because it was that bad?
I haven't, Paul, because I feel like it's my responsibility, just like a Bears beat reporter can't leave, right? You know, in the fourth quarter or not go to the post-game press conference. So I've never walked out. Although I'll tell you, they recently showed this movie, I think it was the red one, where J.K. Simmons was like the buff Santa Claus who got kidnapped and The Rock was his bodyguard. And they showed it in one of those formats where it doesn't just shake your seat, but they do this rumbling. And then they have snow falling from the ceiling. And then they push your seat when there's an action sequence.
Oh, so
it was like watching a terrible movie on a flight that had terrible turbulence. And they literally spray water in your face at one point when it's raining. And I'm like, you know, this is not helping. That one was close to me, at least going to watch it in the aisle. Because I'm like, it's already a terrible movie. And you jerking my seat around and spraying stuff at me isn't helping the cause.
Yeah, I think the only movie I walked out on was Hudson Hawk with, I think it was Danny Aiello and Bruce Willis. And it was just bad that I just left at the end.
That was another one, you know, $5 million for the script and big stars. And it was going to be this really cool thing. And it misfired on every cylinder.
You know, I want to go back to Bruce Willis for a second. And we're not going to debate whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. Mm. But I wonder at the time, Bruce Willis as an action star was kind of like, whoa, it's almost like Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. Whoa, sometimes you don't expect someone to hit a home run. When you went back and you first saw Die Hard, do you remember what you expected and what you reviewed?
Yeah, I loved it. And you're right. I mean, he had done Moonlighting, but people were shocked that, again, he got paid this big salary. And they're like, wait a minute, isn't he just sort of doing kind of almost a Bill Murray, Michael Keaton knockoff thing as a wisecracking guy on Moonlighting? And that's what I think made the movie work so much, because it wasn't, you know, Clint Eastwood or Stallone or Schwarzenegger or somebody like that. He was physically in good shape, but kind of an everyman. And that's what made it so great, because he had to think on his feet. And it's just an ingeniously done movie, you know, because it spawned this whole genre. Die Hard on a boat was, you know, undersea. Right. Die Hard on a bus was Speed. So, I loved it from the start. I didn't think necessarily that it was going to resonate 40 years down the road as a classic, but it's and that is a great film to watch around Christmas time, isn't it?
I just watched a little bit last night. My favorite actor in that movie is a guy named Hart Bochner, who plays Ellis, who kind of steals the movie in about 5 minutes of time. Richard Roper of the Sun-Times movie reviewer joining me, Paul Pabst on the Tailgate, 670 The Score. All right, I'm going to get to Christmas movies in a second, but this is a football show. There have been a lot of football movies in our lifetime, and they seem to be a little more serious back in the day, and now they're more fun, like Varsity Blues.
Do you have two or three personal favorites that you either love personally or reviewed highly?
Some of these go back, actually, when I think about it, before I was reviewing Paul. But, I mean, I'm still a huge fan of Brian's song, speaking of the Bears, of course. And you probably know this story, James Caan and Billy Dee Williams. That was a made-for-television event on ABC television. And it was so highly rated that they actually released it in theaters.
I did not know that.
Might be the only TV movie. Nowadays, we have these kind of simultaneous releases, right? Yeah. But they actually put it in theaters. And it's such a brilliant film. And a quick aside, too, I had the honor of becoming kind of a Zoom friend with James Caan in his later years, because he followed me on Twitter. And then his agent got a hold of me and he said, you know, he'd love to talk to you. And he was exactly what you'd expect. He talked exactly like Sonny Corleone. And he told me, I told him about Brian's song. I go, because it was 1971 and we were talking around 2021. And I go, you know, it's been 50 years. And he goes, holy bleep, I can't believe it. And he told me that after he made that movie, when the Bears would go out to LA, if they were playing like the Los Angeles Rams at the time or whatever, Butkus, Buffon, Obradovich, all of them would come to his house. And he goes, yeah, they'd knock my door down. And I go, you mean they'd pound on the door? He goes, no, they would knock my door down. They thought that was funny. They would literally knock his door down. And that's how he knew. He goes, then I knew they were coming over for a visit.
That's great. I'm going to give you a couple of my favorite football movies. And I think these are for the audience, maybe a little old school that you might have to find again. My favorite of all time is North Dallas 40 with Nick Nolte and Mac Davis. It feels like real inside the locker room football. It's not, and there is some comic relief, but there's some serious stuff with like drug use and painkillers. That's a good one. The original Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds, I think, is also a classic. Yeah. And one that I don't know if it gets seen by the younger audience, All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise about high school football in Pennsylvania. That movie is a very pre-star Tom Cruise. How did you review that one?
Yeah, and wasn't Craig T. Nelson, before he became coach, which was a sitcom, was great as that hard-ass coach. And Leah Thompson, who people know from Back to the Future and everything. Yeah, that is a great – that really captures – it's set in Pennsylvania, but for those of us, if you're any Rust Belt town, or really any – even if you're from Texas, and Friday Night Lights, by the way, the feature is – the film is really good. But All the Right Moves really captured what it was like to play high school football and what it meant in that steel town.
Give me one more football movie that you like, maybe a little more in modern day.
You know, Any Given Sunday is kind of campy, but it's become really popular. It's way over the top when you watch it. It's what you'd expect from Oliver Stone, but it's fun. It's really well done. And, you know, I mean, there's Remember the Titans, which is still a great film. I don't know if we've had anything like in the, now that you mentioned it, the last 5-10 years that
it's been a drought
really resonates. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a 2024 Bears movie. Richard Roper of the Sun-Times joining me on the tailgate, Paul Papps. I want to get to Christmas movies, and I know you are asked about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah,
I watched Home Alone the other day with my kids. They're 15 and 13. Okay. And I think one of the reasons, and you can back me up or not, why Home Alone will hold up forever is the hijinks are fun, the comedy's fun, Macaulay Culkin crushes it. But the little side story with the neighbor and the kids gives the whole movie some heart. So it's not just a campy fall-down-the-stairs laugh movie.
Yeah, you know, John Hughes wrote that, but Chris Columbus is actually the director. People think of it as a John Hughes movie, and it is. And I think one of the you're right, because, you know, one of the universal things about that is all kids think about, oh, it'd be so cool to be home alone, and then it'd be also terrifying, you know?
Right.
And your worst nightmare is these two bandits are trying to get in. But it gets pretty – the violence in there is pretty harsh, you know.
An iron to the face.
Yeah, there's some nasty stuff going on there and the scenes of peril. So then you have the reminder of the Christmas movie with the story of the old man and estranged from his grown child. That's what I think makes it, you're right, makes it a real Christmas movie, because there's your redemption. There's your reconciliation. There's, you know, the true meaning of Christmas. There's your kind of Scrooge, Christmas Carol element to that movie.
Yeah, because you do this for a living and you understand that there is a formula that Hollywood uses, that they have to have certain things on to tug at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
It's like Elf. We had Will Ferrell on the Dan Patrick Show, and he said when he did Elf, he signed on to do it. And after the first day, it was the coffee scene where he walks in and goes, "You've got the best coffee in the world. Congratulations." He went back to and watched the dailies. That's the review of the day one. He called his wife and told us, he said, "I think I made the biggest mistake of my career." He said, nobody laughed. And then when the movie is over, it's now a classic. It's going to be run for 100 years. But also, they didn't do a sequel. How much do you respect that they didn't do an Elf sequel?
Right. So good. And, you know, in the wrong hands, that movie could have been really cringy and weird. And yeah. Will Ferrell could be a 6'4" man child, and not, it never felt creepy. It just felt like he believed it. And talking about James Caan, of course, you know, he's playing it as if he's in a drama. You know, he's not playing it like a comedy. You know, he's really a serious adult. You need that in the best comedies, as you know, Paul. But people can't act as if they know they're in a comedy.
Yes.
Winking at the camera, you know, going over the top. They have to take it seriously, and that's what makes it so funny.
I think you're 100% right on that. It's like Field of Dreams. If you wrote that on paper, the movie Field of Dreams, the baseball movie, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. And Kevin Costner, the way they played that movie, I don't know how it worked, but it worked.
That's another example, I think. Casting, you know, he's right in that comfort zone, you know, modern day Jimmy Stewart, whatever. And speaking of, It's a Wonderful Life, you got to have, in some films you can picture different actors. Oh yeah, you know, this guy could have played Bond, or somebody could have played this. But some of the most memorable movies, it's the right actor at the right point in their career too, where we bought into them. And it's like, listen, if Kevin Costner thinks he should build a field, we're going to be Amy Madigan's character and go, that's my husband. I support him. This is nuts, but we're doing it.
Richard, I know we could do this all day. I wish we could do this all day. You know, you and I, you know what we should do? You and I need to find someone in Chicago, like WGN or one of the good stations, the Marquee or whatever. And we should do a, like what you used to do in the old days with sports movies. Go back and look at them, and like the best acting in sports movies by an actor, best acting by an athlete. How about worst sports in a movie where the football just doesn't look right? We have 100 topics.
Oh my God. You know, I'm immediately brought back to About Last Night, the original, which I love, but Rob Lowe on a Chicago 16-inch softball field was a crime against humanity the first time he took a ground ball. So yeah, there's so many different things we could do. I love that. I'm in.
All right. We're going to talk to some people. We're going to put the word out, maybe get Jared Payton involved. I don't know what we're going to do. Hey, thanks. I could talk to you for hours. It's great to have you on the tailgate.
Paul, it's great to talk to you.
I love Richard Roper. I could geek out of movies, sports movies, especially with him all day. I'm serious about this. I think Roper and I, we got to get together. I've known him for a long time. We're going to call Marquee. We're going to call Chicago Sports Network, WGN. We'll get in bidding war. We got to do a TV show all about sports movies, good, bad, rewatch them, good actors, bad actors, good athletes in movies. We got to do all that. But up next, it's the Pub and Grub of the Week, my Bears-Lions prediction, and the Bears fan morale meter. Oh, boy. And Sosa, Cub again. That's next. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Papps. 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsegian didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, I'm Paul Pabst, 670 The Score. A big day of football ahead of us. Texans Chiefs this afternoon. Steelers Ravens this afternoon. College football, please watch college football. You have SMU Penn State, you have Clemson Texas, Tennessee Ohio State. Three great games. Try to balance it. Let's get to a bunch of things here. Pub and Grub a week on The Tailgate. Let's go out to Frankfort, Illinois to the Old Plank Trail Tavern, a true local old school pub. They serve PBR. It's cash only. You got me there. They got a pool table. That's all I need. My friends from Marian Catholic say it's a great spot. It's like 70s or the 80s inside. Check out the Old Plank Trail Tavern in Frankfort, an old school gem. Time for How's Morale, the Bears fan morale meter. I'm setting it right now at a 2.7. That's pretty brutal. It's hard to see or glean anything positive from the past 3 weeks of Bears football. Sometimes you're like, oh, that guy's playing good, or Gervon Dexter, or you know, Jalen Johnson. But your mind almost has to think about offseason things right now. And you don't want to be thinking about the offseason in December. You want to focus on games. You're thinking about the GM and the draft, and it's not what you want to be thinking about. You want to think about, are we close to the playoffs, or do we need a win here or a win there, and we could grab a wild card? You don't want to think like, when's the draft? Where's the draft in Green Bay? That doesn't make it any better for Bears fans. Where are we in the draft order? That's not what you should be thinking about, and that's why the morale meter is at 2.7. Bears game prediction time. Wins are hard to picture right now. Last week, I said the same thing about the Minnesota game. I couldn't picture the Bears winning it, and that's not good. The Lions need this game. The Vikings are right on their heels. I know the Vikings are banged up. Just like the 49ers were a couple of weeks ago, they're vulnerable. But I think the Lions offense will regroup and unleash the hounds a little bit. I'm going nicely Lions 24-13 over the Bears. I would love to see a touchdown or 10 points in the first half. NFL home stretch, again, a couple of games today. Don't forget, big slate tomorrow. One thing before we wrap up, just for hope. Sammy Sosa feels like a Cub again. This was shocking. I was listening to Score live when they announced it, that Sammy Sosa, that press release came out with Sosa and the Cubs. if Sammy Sosa can be embraced by the Cubs again, anything can happen. I know there's a ton of baggage around Sammy's time with the Cubs, and you know, but there was more good than bad. You know, I know he's accused of PEDs and the bat and leaving the clubhouse early that one season and all that stuff. But man, he was good TV. There was such a great time in the bleachers. I went and I sat behind Sammy like anybody did, like you guys did. He was a thrilling player for 5 years. He hit 60 home runs three different times. So if Sammy could be a Cub, the Bears can win a football game. All right, that's the tailgate for this week. A gigantic day of college and pro football ahead. Please have fun and have a safe holiday. I'm a large, by the way, if you want to buy me something. Enjoy being in your fantastic city in the Chicagoland area. I wish I was there right now. Don't take it for granted. Go to a pub, go to a friend's house who has a big TV and watch some football. Or host a pub, host a party, watch football at your house. This is the tailgate. Enjoy the football. Talk to you next week. I'm Paul Papps. This is 670 The Score.